From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. In the past few months, voters watching Campaign 08 got to see the political rhetoric change from largely non-racial to racially charged. Maybe it was inevitable, but it still ticked off a lot of voters. Among the latest salvos, former Democratic vice presidential candidate Geraldine Ferraro just resigned as an advisor to the Clinton campaign. She said that Obama effectively had an advantage because he was black, and then, before her resignation, had this to say on Good Morning America.
The sad thing is that my comments have been taken so out of context and have been spun by the Obama campaign as racist that, you know, it's doing precisely what they don't want done. The sad thing is that my comments have been taken so out of context and have been spun by the Obama campaign as racist that, you know, it's doing precisely what they don't want done. It's going into the Democratic Party and dividing us even more.
If this sounds familiar, well, that's because it is. Ferraro made similar comments back in Jesse Jackson's 88 campaign, saying that if Jackson were not black, he wouldn't be in the race. And where's this debate over race headed? Given the resignation of a high-profile Obama advisor, how much do the campaigns have to wrangle their key supporters? With us now, Dr. Mary Frances Berry. She's a professor of history at the University of Pennsylvania. She's also the former chair of the U.S. Civil Rights Commission. And Ron Walters. He's a professor of political science and the director of the African American Leadership Institute at the University of Maryland. He was an advisor in Reverend Jesse Jackson's presidential campaign. Welcome to you both.
Good to be with you.
So, Ron, we have a relatively long time before the Pennsylvania primary on April 22nd. Is this a glimpse of what we can expect for the next 6 weeks?
Well, I don't think so. I think there may be some backing away from some of this. I think it is not in the interest of the Democratic Party to fuel this sort of racial rhetoric. And as a matter of fact, you know, when you listen to this, you think about, well, where are the leaders of the party, the Howard Deans and some of the others who are really in leadership positions? You haven't heard them say anything. And it would seem to me that it would be in the interest of not only the Democrats but the Republicans to say that these campaigns should not be based upon either race bias or gender bias. And, you know, we live at the beginning of a new century, where the demographics indicate that we're going to have these kind of campaigns again. I mean, the people who are not white coming into positions where they're running to be candidates. And we have to have a standard which says to the American people the kind of campaign we want to run.
Well, let's listen to Obama's response to Ferraro's comments.
Yeah, I think if you pulled out a handbook of, you know, how to weigh your assets and liabilities in a presidential race, I don't think my name or my skin color would be in the asset column.
Mary, do you think that Senator Obama is striking the appropriate tone, just kind of saying, yeah, I disagree with you, but keeping it a little mellow? Should people even be that upset about this? Because a lot of people are really exercised over Geraldine Ferraro's remarks. I think we're having some technical difficulties. Dr. Berry, will...
As usual, I try to stand in the middle and end up getting probably getting pillared from both sides. But let me just say that I think both sides are being disingenuous in this whole thing. Race and gender are an issue because you've got a woman and a black guy running for president and going all the way for the first time in the Democratic Party. And everybody knows it's a black guy and it's a white woman, and you can see that. Race and gender are still important in our society when it comes to issues of discrimination, which nobody seems to want to discuss in this campaign. Also, as somebody who helped one of Jesse's guys, Frank Watkins, write the article that was in the Post for the 84 campaign, Washington Post, saying why a black man should run for president in 1984, I recall that one of the reasons why Jesse ran was because he was a black guy, and we thought that one of the things he could get was support from black people. That was true in 88, too, and to broaden it into a rainbow coalition. I think both sides are being disingenuous. As for Ferraro, while I don't think she's personally a racist, I don't have any evidence to say that she is, I think that she shouldn't have said what she said, even if it was to a little tiny newspaper somewhere that she thought nobody should notice, and it was well that she decided to just leave the campaign and say what she wants. As far as Obama is concerned, yes, it was his campaign who put out the statement widely. It was David Axelrod who did it. and who then, I guess, were anxious to get the Clinton campaign to have to dump Ferraro like they had to dump Samantha Powers. I think the issue is going to be discussed. The reason why you don't have Howard Dean saying anything or any of the leaders of the party is that they don't want to touch this issue, too, if it can disappear or go away, because it's a hot-button issue. So I don't think it's going to go away.
Ron, I'm actually going to play you a little bit more from Senator Clinton. She got rid of advisors before for making disparaging remarks about Barack Obama. And this time around, Ferraro made it clear that she resigned on her own initiative. But here's a little bit more from Senator Clinton.
Well, I don't agree with that. And I think it's important that, you know, we try to stay focused on the issues that matter to the American people. And both of us have had supporters and staff members who've gone over the line, and we have to rein them in and try to keep this, you know, on the issues.
When she says, I don't agree with that, she was referring to the idea that she should have done even more, that, you know, maybe she should have demanded that Ferraro resign before Ferraro did. Ron, when it comes to advisors, it's this weird situation where the advisors are proxies who can say things that the candidates can't. Up to a point. What is that point?
Well, I think up to the point where they really sort of get the candidate in trouble. And I think in this case, you even had some incidents where you've gotten the candidate in trouble. I think Donna Brazile, for example, in the Gore campaign, when she was the campaign manager, was forced to resign, and she had gotten the candidate in trouble. And that's what you have to do. But I believe that, you know, coming out of the Clinton administration, the Clinton campaign, you know, these things have been far too frequent. And as a strategist, it gives me the feeling that this is not all accidental. And so as much as people will try to sort of equalize what's going on in both campaigns, I don't think it's really quite that equal. I think that Barack Obama is vulnerable because he has tried to run a race-neutral campaign. He's not tried to run a campaign as a black man. And the fact that he is black, his campaign has tried to make incidental so that his supporters could see past his race into the issues. And so for him, it's a problem because he can't and doesn't really want to respond in racial terms to racial attacks. And that's one of the reasons why I think that the party should have an interest in trying to make sure that this thing is played upon, you know, on a level playing field. I think that these attacks are coming from the Clinton administration on a frequent basis. And I think that there's something in that that's more than sort of accidental, as I suggested.
I think that, even though I just explained, and Ron didn't controvert it, that this latest thing came from David Axelrod in his meeting with reporters, where he highlighted the Ferraro campaign and spread it far and wide and demanded that there be a response, which then got everybody talking about it on the radio and on the TV and everything else. He still keeps talking about all of the attacks being generated by one side or the other. I think that what has happened is that the Obama campaign has now tipped its toe into getting into this business of highlighting something somebody said about race. I don't think they should. I think they should stand back and do what he's been doing and run the kind of campaign he's been running, which has been successful, and not let himself get all involved and embroiled in it. If he would do that, I think it would die out. If he doesn't do it, and if he keeps on talking about it too, then, you know, there'll be both of them talking about it, and it won't go away.
Well, I think it's difficult to have it both ways, because has happened to the Obama campaign in the last 2 weeks is that it's been under attack from the McCain campaign, from the Clinton campaign, and particularly from the media. And the argument there is that he's not been tough enough, that he doesn't fight back against these attacks. And so when he does fight back against a very obvious, deleterious attack, he really shouldn't be taken to task for that. I think this is part of his way of saying, look, I'm in this race, I want to fend off these negative attacks, but I really am in this race to talk about a new kind of politics, because this is the kind of politics that's really kept us from dealing with many of these problems in the past.
Just quickly, Mary and then Ron, what do you think has changed since the time when Reverend Jesse Jackson ran for president?
Oh, I think that you have lots more white people who are wanting to get beyond the question of race and are looking at a candidate who typifies a lot of the American dream of success. I mean, he's got all the right credentials. He's an attractive black man. He's smart. What is there not to like about him? And so the demographics have changed since Jesse ran. And one group we're leaving out of all this, of course, as usual, is the Latinos and what they think about everything since they are becoming a majority. But I think you have many, many more whites who are willing to support Obama and who see him as an attractive candidate. And it's much beyond the Rainbow Coalition that Jesse talked about in 1988. It's just yearning.
Let me get Ron in here. What do you think? Have things changed quite a bit?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think the problem that Jesse had was that he was perceived, coming out of the civil rights movement, as a black candidate, quote-unquote. Barack Obama, of course, doesn't have that background. And as I said, he's tried to neutralize race so that people wouldn't sort of put him in a pigeonhole the way that, you know, people have temptation to do in this country. So, but I think Mary's certainly right that far more people, particularly the younger generation, both whites and Hispanics, are far more willing to look at someone on the merits and support their campaign. And I think also, I think whites, we're ready now, I think, to get past a lot of the deep ideological divisions in this country. And I think that's the message of his campaign that Geraldine Ferraro missed.
Ron,
she put it on race, but really it is an historic moment of change that's driving this campaign and not just Barack Obama.
Ron and Mary, thanks for joining us.
Okay, thank you for us.
Ron Walters is a professor of political science at the University of Maryland, and Dr. Mary Frances Berry is a professor of history at the University of Pennsylvania.